Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So this morning, the Lord just gave me a word that I believe is a word for us individually and for us as a body, Urban Mission. And I do believe it's somehow tied to David's message on, was that Reformation, David? What were the slips?
Renovation.
I missed that morning. I was not here. I was sick, and I could not listen to it because the recording didn't work. So I'm not positive it's tied, but the little bit I'm picking up, I believe it's tied together. And for those of you that don't know, the leadership of this church has been, for the last several weeks, fasting on praying on Wednesdays. And for many reasons, but specifically for direction for this body. And, you know, it's always important. Not only are we going into a new year, but we're in a new decade. And it's so important for us to know where God is leading us. And through my personal time of prayer and fasting, the Lord has begun to speak to me on this topic of getting back on track. And that's my message this morning. It's about getting back on track. Now, that can mean a lot of different things depending on where we are at. And there's a personal responsibility we have, and then there's a corporate responsibility we have for being on track. And, you know, I was thinking about that on a personal level, how I am not the most disciplined person. And I struggle. It is a struggle for me. And that would be one of the things I would have on my list. Being a better disciplined person. So I could go for a long time, maybe with my exercise routine or my eating plan, and then bam, vacation. Business trip. Something where I can't keep my structure going and things are mixed up and different. And then it often takes me a long time to get back on track because I've been off kilter. I was out having fun, and now I got to get back into my structure. And the only way I can do that is being really intentional about it, making the decision and sticking to it. And it's not easy. There's a lot of resistance, right? Yeah, that chocolate cake, sleeping in a little later, not getting up and getting on the exercise equipment, whatever our routine happens to be, you know? But there have been times in my life where I was totally off track, and we are going to read, the Lord brought me to Jonah. Now, he could have brought me to a lot of different places because there are a lot of different people in Scripture we can read about that got off track. But the Lord brought me to Jonah, and I believe there's a specific reason for it being Jonah, which we'll get into. But right now, I just want to share my experiences. You know, when I was dating my husband a long time ago, I was just really getting back. I had just spent my high school years kind of like showing up in church three times a week, but not really living the life, right? So I'd have fun all week, show up on Sunday, repent, go back out, do my thing. But around 18 years old, the Lord just started to pull me in and really shifted where I was at. And now I was in church with purpose, but I would say that I was not quite on track. And the reason I say that is because when I then began dating my husband, he had brought me to a prayer meeting where some of his family that were pastors at the time would hold this prayer meeting. And I went to that prayer meeting for several months with him. And that's what we did back then for fun. And it was fun until one day the two pastors singled me out and said, and called out a gifting on me that I knew nothing about and was not ready to hear. Okay? I think God was trying to open me up to something at that point, which did not even come about for 10 years later because I ran. I never went back. I never went back to that prayer meeting. Because that word, I was not comfortable with. It was a God word because it did come to pass. But at the time, I had never heard of it before. It wasn't in my paradigm. And so how could that be God? Even though I knew these people and loved them with all my heart, I just never went back to that prayer meeting because it scared the bejesus out of me. Okay? I think Jonah, where we're going today, was in a very similar situation. When God brought me to the book of Jonah, I started to do some research on the history of Jonah. You know, we don't hear much about Jonah. His big appearance is in the book of Jonah, and he's mentioned in Matthew and Luke in one sentence, which we'll get to, in one scripture, which we'll get to. But when you read about his history, he was actually, he is spoken about as being the very first Hebrew prophet that was sent to a pagan nation. Isn't that interesting? No one had ever heard of that before. The prophets at the time of Jonah were all speaking to the Israelites, the Hebrews. And that's where Jonah was at. Where he was living at the time in Israel, he was in the Galilee area of Israel. He was a prophet to his people. And it was a good season at that time because Israel was prospering and he was declaring the prosperity and it was happening. So he was somewhat of a hero in his comfortable hometown. And God shows up one day and says, "Hey, Jonah, this is your new assignment. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh." Let's read it. Do we have, John Michael, can you put the Message up version? Jonah, I just like reading in the Message sometimes. So we're going to read the Message, Jonah 1 to chapter 1, 1 to 3. I am tempted to read the whole book, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do that. It's a short book. It's really a great book. So I would suggest you all go home and read the whole thing later. But we're going to read 1 to 3. I forgot my iPad, so my font is tiny. One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. "Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer." But Jonah got up and went the other direction to Tarshish. Running away from God, he went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board, joining those going to Tarshish as far away from God as he could get. John Michael, can you put that map up? I just wanted you all to see how far he was intending on going. Because I was kind of surprised when I looked it up. No, not going to happen. You lost it? Okay. Oh, okay. It's all right. Okay. So he gets on a ship in Joppa, which is only 550 miles from Nineveh, but he's headed to Tarshish, 2,500 miles in the other direction. Right? So he was really running from God. And why? Why was he running for God? Because this was so outside of his paradigm that he would go and preach to the people of Nineveh. If you go and read the history of Nineveh, they were wicked people. They didn't know God in any way, shape, or form. They were pagans. And he was like, "This is not my thing. I'm not going." So he runs. And you know, the cool thing about God is when we run, we can't outrun him. We cannot outrun him. Okay? So 2 Kings 14:25, I just want to read that verse to you because this is where it tells us that Israel was prospering in Jonah's day. God restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Helphar, which is the town in the northern Israel where he was from. So this scripture tells us that it was Jonah who spoke the prophetic word of a prosperity over Israel in that day. So he was a fairly popular guy, and he was always prophesying good things, and God was showing unmerited favor at his word, and the nation was expanding, and everything was wonderful, and then God shows up. You know, how many times in my life I'm going along and I'm thinking things are great. Things are good. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. My family's in a good place. And bam, God shows up and says, this is what I want you to do. But let me tell you this, that if God is not showing up in your life and challenging you to do something greater and bigger than what you're currently doing, then you need to take a step. Pull out your, what was it called? I'm sorry. I should write it down. Renovation paper and figure out what it is God is speaking to you. Because he has spoken something to you that is greater than you can do. Now, whether you have chosen to step out in faith in that thing or you have chosen to run for it, and we don't have to run 2,500 miles. We just have to turn our back. Right? So I would tell you right now that God gave me this word because there are things in my life that I have put on the shelf because I've gotten busy doing this thing. And yeah, this is a great thing. And I'm having fun and I'm comfortable in this amazing thing right here in my life. But God's saying, this is really where I want your attention. And I believe we are coming into a season where we need to figure out where it is God wants us to put our attention. Not just individually, but as a church. You know, I believe the reason the Lord gave me Jonah is because of the Great Commission. And as a body, I believe that we need to get back on track with that simple assignment the Lord gave us, which is the Great Commission. Jonah was before Jesus' day, but what was his assignment? His assignment was to go out into the world where he wouldn't be comfortable and speak about God's. Well, actually, you know what he prophesied? He prophesied destruction because he didn't know God's love to the extent at that time. But he learned about God's love through this whole process. We know God's love. We know where he's taken us from and where he's brought us to. Nineveh was a city of approximately 120,000 people. And when you read the scripture in Jonah, it tells you that it would take 3 days to walk from one side to the other. So we're not talking about a little suburban town. We're talking about a big city with a lot of people. So what happens when we decide not to follow God? We find out that we break off our connection with God. Do you know when we are not... I know immediately when I have gone off track. I have learned this over time. And how is that? Because I lose my peace. I lose my peace and everything is a struggle. Now, I'm not telling you that what God assigns us won't be a struggle because this was a struggle for Jonah, right? It's a struggle for us sometimes when God says, go here, speak to that person, go to this place, stop doing that and start doing this. It's a struggle. I know it's a struggle for me, but it's a struggle, but yet I know I have the strength to do it because when I am connected to the Lord, I know I can do anything. All things are possible. But when we are moving in a direction that he has not sent us in, it becomes a struggle that is insurmountable. But oftentimes, don't we just keep banging ourselves against that wall? I know I do. I know I do. So we can show up here each week. Sit in church. We could come here 3, 4, 5, 10 times a week, multiple services, and still not be doing what God has called us to do, what God has assigned us to in the season. Maybe last season's assignment has ended and you have yet to give it up. I don't know. It's different for all of us. But Jonah tried to run. We all sometimes try to run. Psalms 139:2. It says, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." How can we possibly run from that? He knows where we are, what we're doing, what we're thinking. He knows every detail about us, and we think we can run. I thought I could run from the assignment God gave me. And I did for 10 years. Our life can spiral downward. So if we look at Jonah, we read in Jonah 1, he went down to Joppa. He had to go down to Joppa. Then he went down below the deck of the boat. Is anybody not here familiar with the story of Jonah? Okay. So when he got on the ship, what did he immediately do? He went down to the belly of the ship where he went into a deep sleep. Then when they had to throw him overboard, he went down to the bottom of the ocean. And if you read the scripture, it says down into the deep depths of death. Hell was coming in on him. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to that place, but I know many people have gone that far. And sometimes it takes that far to wake us up. And sometimes we may be watching that happening to someone. And instead of praying for them and speaking to them, we're judging the situation. The people, the sailors that had to toss Jonah overboard because he knew he was the problem, he told them to do it. They were concerned that they would be the reason Jonah died. But they had to do it anyway. And, you know, it's funny because oftentimes we justify our decisions because why? It's my life. So Jonah's thinking, it's my life. I'm getting on this boat. I'm running. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going as far as I can from hearing the word of the Lord. I'm not going to hear it anymore. And gets on this ship. And what happens? It impacts everyone on the ship in not a good way. The wind kicks up. Everybody is fearful for their life. They had to throw the cargo overboard. All their belongings, probably the merchandise that they were carrying, their income, all went into the sea because of Jonah's decision to run. How is your decisions affecting the people in your life? How is the leadership's decision affecting this city? I'm just throwing some questions to think about in your, what is it again? Renovation list. I have to go home and whip mine out. My husband handed it to me last week. I think it's great. No, I have. Yeah, right. No, he didn't fill it out for me. Yeah. They were experiencing inordinate difficulties, extreme difficulties because of Jonah's decision, the whole ship. And when they finally listened to Jonah and tossed him overboard, they figured out he was running from his God. They knew. They tossed him overboard, and guess what happens? The sea calms down. They're at peace, and they begin to worship the God of Jonah. So even when we go off course, even when we're running away, even when we're not where we're supposed to be, God can use us to impact people. He turns all our garbage into good. It says in the scripture, he takes our ashes and makes them beautiful. Thank you, God, that you do that. So at some point, like Jonah, we get to the point often where we cannot hide any longer from other people what our trouble is, what we've done. So it became apparent to the sailors that Jonah was the issue. And sometimes it becomes apparent to others that we are the issue, right? Sometimes we need intervention. Sometimes people have to come into our lives and bring intervention into what the decisions we are making. Sometimes we're so clouded by not being able to step out of our comfort zone that we can't see that it's a God thing. We think this must be the enemy. I'm sure Jonah had counsel that it was not God. But Jonah knew. He knew in his heart it was God, which is why he ran. And sometimes we'll have counsel. I've been in situations where if I've known God is speaking to me and had had counsel that it was not God. Now, whose decision is that? Who has to ultimately make that decision? The people giving you counsel aren't hearing from the Lord. And I'm not saying you may not need confirmation. I know God will give you confirmation. He's always been faithful for that. But sometimes you can't listen to the crowd. You can't let your friends influence you when you know you're hearing from God. This was something that had never happened before. It was out of their paradigm to even think that God would want him to go to a pagan nation to preach the word, to preach the gospel. So yeah, people are going to say, I don't know. I think you're off on this, Jonah. And it would be so easy to just slip in under that and be okay. I'm off on it. I know I looked when I know that I'm not really doing what I should be doing, what I feel God prompting me to do, I'm always looking for confirmation that I'm right. Not confirmation that God's right or what I should be doing that. I'm looking for someone to make me feel good in my feel good place. Right? Eventually, though, Jonah reached the bottom, and eventually we reached the bottom, where we're tired of running, where we want God's blessing and not just being walking through life, not under that abundant blessing and favor. You know, when we're following what he wants us to do, the favor is incredible. The blessings are unbelievable. I love that place now. I mean, I'm not perfect at this, believe me. God's speaking to me. But that's my happy place now, not the running place, the comfortable place. My happy place is the stretching place. So eventually Jonah reaches the bottom and God sends help in the form of a fish that swallows him up. I don't know if he was thinking that was help. I don't know if I would be thinking that was help, but we know that it brought Jonah to a place of repentance. And if we find that we are in a place where we are running in the wrong direction or we are skirting what God would have us be doing, following Jonah's example of just getting into a place of repentance and worship. And he was doing it from the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a whale. But in that place, like we sang this morning, he started to believe hope was on the horizon. And God began to change his heart. And so then, after 3 days of that, which I can't even fathom, and you know, when I was studying for this, I was reading. There are people out there that preach that this is a parable. But I have a hard time believing that this is a parable because we read in Matthew where Jesus actually speaks about Jonah. And he says, I want to find that scripture really quickly. In Matthew 12:40, he says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the man, Son of Man, will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of earth." So to me, if Jesus is validating that, then it is true. So this truly happened. This man was sitting in the bottom of this fish for 3 days, repenting his heart out and worshiping God. And God showed mercy and favor on him, and the fish spit him out right where he needed to be. And this time, the assignment did not change. After he ran, after he went through all this, God didn't change his mind and say, I'm choosing somebody else to go. The assignment didn't change. We read in Jonah 3:1, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you." And Jonah obeyed this time. Thank you, God, for second times and third times and fourth times, because I've needed them. Jonah got back on track. He obeyed. He went to Nineveh. He proclaimed in Nineveh, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. I don't read anywhere in scripture where he gave them a message of hope. He gave them a message of destruction. But God changed their hearts. They turned to God and began to repent because Jonah stepped into his assignment and did what God called him to do, even though it was difficult. 120,000 people went to fasting and prayer, including all the animals, and the city was saved. To me, that sounds like one great revival. And you would think Jonah would be excited about that amazing revival that he was part of. He actually set it into motion by obeying God and doing what he was called to do. But if you go on to read Jonah 4, we find out why Jonah never wanted to go to Nineveh. Because he did not want to see those pagan, violent people saved. He was angry with them. He did not believe they should have the same favor and love that he did because of the way they lived their life. This was the first time that they had seen God showing love and compassion to broken, hurting people that didn't know God. The scripture tells us, if you read chapter 4, that the people of Nineveh had never heard of God. They didn't know about him. And God said to Jonah, why would I not help them when I saved you? You who knew me and ran from me. Isn't it the same thing that the people of Nineveh are doing? But they did not know what they were doing was wrong. So it's actually a little worse. And I had to think, God, am I doing that? Am I not speaking about you to certain people because I think they're way beyond your ability to save them? Are we staying too much in our circle and not going out into cultures we think God can't reach? Jonah had a filter that said to him, nobody that knew God could ever love, God could never love them. But God showed up here and he showed Jonah and he showed the people of Nineveh how great his love is. And I want to speak to you today that if you're in a place where you think you are so far from God that he can't love you anymore, take a look at this book. His love goes further than we can ever think. He doesn't just love us when we're perfect. He doesn't just love us when we're doing exactly what he wants. He never stopped loving Jonah. He's never going to stop loving you. He loves me even when I'm cranky. He loves me even when I say things I shouldn't or think things I shouldn't. He loves me when I forget who I am and I act like I'm not who I am. He still loves me. People may not love us anymore, but he does. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Jonah had to learn that. And I think sometimes, at some level, we still need to learn that. Maybe our assignment is changing, and maybe it's scary, and maybe we like what we've been doing all this time, and it's hard to make that shift. I have been there more times than I'd like to remember, and it's always been a struggle, and I've never done it at the first inkling that I needed to shift. It's always taken time. I'm in that process right now. And we could be in that process spiritually. We could be in that process in work. We could be in that process with our family situation. There are so many ways. God doesn't just care about this. He cares about all of it. He cares about every little detail of your life. So if you are off track in any area, you could be totally on track in every area but this one little thing. And he's not holding that against you, but he wants to see you on track. And it'll be so much better when you get on track. I speak that from experience. When I was studying on this, I was thinking about a story I'd heard, and I'm probably going to get it wrong because I am not a sports person. But the story I had heard was about this football player called Wrong Way Roy. Has anybody heard about him before? So it was in the 1920s, and Wrong Way Roy was playing for a college football team. Don't ask me which one. They're all the same to me. And it was the Rose Bowl. And he got the ball and ran 65 yards into the wrong end zone. And so Wrong Way Roy was very angry, thinking this is the end of my career and my coach was going to be angry. But his coach, like God does for us, said, hey, it was a mistake. Learn from it. Get back in. The second half was the most incredible performance this young player had ever had because he learned from his mistake. And his coach didn't give up on him. And our coach, our Father, Jesus, he never gives up on us. He always says, get back in the game. Let's do it again. This time it'll be better.